We're going to be going through an Advent series, and the Advent series is how God was planning ahead and preparing for the birth of his son, Jesus, and what that would mean for us as well. What I'd like to do is begin with Micah 5, and I'm just going to read through this. It's the NIV version. And I'll just read through that, and then we'll get started. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. It's interesting that we human beings tend to latch on to somebody that gives us hope. There are some who are looking ahead to the next president, saying that's the solution to our problems. They're latching on to that. That's our hope. And some are saying, well, we need to wait till the next one. And that's okay, but we're looking for someone to fix our problems for us. I've talked with many who were in high school or college. They just feel lonely. And the solution to most all their problems is to get married. And once they're married, that person's going to fix my loneliness. And we could run with this. Pain condition. Have an ongoing pain condition that just never goes away. Well, that new doctor is a good doctor. And if that doctor doesn't work, well, then at least let's just go to Mayo Clinic, which Barb and I have had to do. Our hope is latched on to somebody who's going to fix our problems. We need some revitalization in our church to grow. New pastor. That'll fix things. I'm wondering where you tend to look for things that you would hope to fix all things. The ancient people of Israel needed a fix or needed help. If you were to read Micah 4, there they went into all the corruption in the government, immorality among the religious leaders. Things didn't look good. We were decaying inside. And now they deal with another problem again. Verse 1 of Micah 5. It says, marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. I feel ancient Palestine was a lot like what Ukraine is. Ukraine has all kinds of forces coming from every direction, has invaded them over the centuries. Same thing with Palestine. I made a list of different groups that invaded Palestine over the years. The Assyrians, Egyptians, Babylonians, Persians, Greeks, Romans. Here they come again. We're getting invaded again. A siege, that means they can't take Jerusalem. It's too well fortified. The only way we can defeat them is to starve them out. We'll just surround them and let them starve to death. Now, notice something else. These invading troops are going to strike Israel's cheek with a rod. What is that? That was a terminology of insult. They're saying, what we're going to do is we're going to take over Jerusalem, we're going to come to your leader, and instead of just putting him in chains, leading him off to be executed, we're going to slap him in the face with a rod. That was insulting. Maybe pull out his beard first, but then just slap him. That was humiliating for the leader. So, they need help. Where are they going to get help? Micah is the prophet who's writing. I don't know about you, but in glory, when the new heavens and earth come and we're going to be able to visit with each other, and I think we're going to remember this earth, this life, there's a whole bunch of people I want to talk to. One of them is Micah. And I'd like to ask Micah and the other prophets, what's it like to be a prophet? Do you just sense the Lord leading you and guiding you? Okay. Well, here's Micah being used by God. God is reminding him to remind the people how corrupt they are and how immoral they are. And there's some problems coming. But Micah, I've got a plan. I'm going to make things better again. Okay. Now, imagine you're being led by the Spirit as a prophet, and you're going to get insight into God's plan. So where do you look for the one that God will use to fix things for his people? Obviously, Jerusalem. That's the capital city. That's where the leaders always come from. They're groomed. They're the ones that are raised, nurtured, how to be leaders. So he looks that way. But if you go to verse 2, what you have is, it doesn't come through in the English that well, but here's the sense. As Micah's looking to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit just takes him and has him look that way. And Micah looks that way. You? Bethlehem? Ephrathah? Hill country? Out of you will come somebody? He's totally amazed. Nobody notices Bethlehem, just kind of like somebody doesn't ever know my hometown of Edgerton, Minnesota. It's just a blip, even if it makes it onto the map. Well, let me show you a map of Bethlehem. Here's Bethlehem, just south of Jerusalem. And there's that road that goes fairly close to Bethlehem, but you have to go out of your way to go there. That's where you're looking. You have to do a lot of work to get it on the map. Your GPS might not even bring you there. It's not in the tourist information. There's nothing in Bethlehem. But God has a plan. This is referenced in the previous chapter, Micah 4. Verses 12 and 13, he says, but they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Okay, they don't know what God has planned. He has something special planned. And I can imagine Micah just getting kind of excited. What is this all about? Well, let's go back to Micah 5, verse 3 again. Micah 5, verse 3. Therefore, Israel be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son. Now, I wonder, okay. Micah first looked for this big, important leader coming from Jerusalem. But now he has to look at this sleepy little village. And when he looks into this sleepy little village, he's focusing on, or the Lord has him focus on a woman that's pregnant. Can't figure that out. This is amazing. But God has a plan. He says, I've got something special planned. And that shows up later, centuries later, 7 centuries later, actually, in Luke 2, verses 4 through 7. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. You get that? 7 centuries earlier, God had planned this already, that he wanted a little sleepy village to be the place where his son was born of a woman being pregnant. But they had to make the special trip. Show the next slide of a map here. Yeah, there is Nazareth in Galilee, and if they went straight south, there's another way where they go to the other side of the Jordan, and some people would go that way, or we believe that maybe they just came straight south through Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem. Because he was a descendant of David. God's plan didn't just happen that way. God planned it ahead of time. Okay. Things get better here. So I can imagine Micah swallowing hard, saying, okay, the one to fix everything doesn't come from Jerusalem, the capital. It comes from a sleepy little village, from a baby born of a woman. Ah, but there's more. Verse 2 again. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. His origins? Not Bethlehem. From the past, from of old, from ancient times. This is actually the same language that's used in Psalm 90, verse 2. All note takers, Psalm 90, verse 2, okay? From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Literally, unending ages. In other words, in the future, God will always be the same. To the unending ages into the future, forever. But from everlasting. God never had a beginning. Try to wrap your mind around that one. Always was. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. This baby born in a sleepy little village. Where did he begin? Not in Bethlehem. But from everlasting, he is the eternal God joining the human race, taking on a little baby, becoming one of us. Boy, Micah has the privilege to first receive this and then to tell us. And we read that here today. God's plan. Okay, now let's go down to verse 4 and 5. I'll read the first part of verse 4. He, this new ruler, will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Now, look at this new ruler. At first, when you see him, you're not impressed, but look, he's the one who came, who died to take away the sins of his people, to take on the curse, on the cross, rises again, and now look, he stands in the strength of the eternal God. Powerful. He's the one that rises from the dead. He will raise us from the dead. Full of majesty and glory. That's who he is right now. But as you look at him, really powerful, huge biceps, he's just as strong as can be, he speaks and things happen. But he shepherds his flock. These big, powerful arms, huge biceps, hold us real tenderly. He's not rough. He just loves you. Isn't this the ideal big brother? Strong, defending you, but holding you softly, compassionately, tenderly. That is your hope. And then it goes on to describe, and they, that is his flock, his people, will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. I'm wondering, does the Holy Spirit need to twist your head? Let me run through something that I hit. As a pastor, one of the things I always do is apply this first to myself. Let me tell you how I applied it. See, this past week, Barb and I have been making plans and preparing for heading to Tucson. We're going to be going to Tucson for a week. That's where Barb was raised. And we're going to be with her family. Now, I'm one of these worst-case scenario type of guys. What if the car breaks down? Well, I've got the warranty right with me. It's sitting there right in the car. Okay, got that fixed because GM or Chevrolet will back me up. Okay, that's that worst-case scenario. What if we lose cell service and we can't find where we're going to go? Don't worry about that. We're going to be taking interstate all the way. There's interstate cell service all along the way, all along interstate. Okay, that's worst case scenario. And those cell companies want to keep things running. Okay, good. All right. What if we show up in the place we're staying overnight and they've lost their electricity? Don't laugh at that. That can happen. I show pity for us worst case scenario guys here. So, okay. These utility companies want to keep the utilities going because that's the way they make money. Okay, and they have their backup plans and they're making sure the terrorists aren't hacking their systems. Okay, that worst case scenario is taken care of. All right. We can run with this, can't we? I've run through a whole bunch more worst-case scenarios. Notice, did you notice how I handled these worst-case scenarios? It's people and individuals and companies that will take care of me. Who am I kidding? The Holy Spirit had to take me and say, John, you're looking the wrong place. There! It's the Lord Jesus Christ that's taking care of me right now. The only way I can stand here is in the strength of Jesus. The only way I'll be taken care of all the way to Tucson, and when we deal with Barb's family, they're an interesting family. They're fun to be with, and I got stories for you. He's going to be the calm presence. I don't have to be the calm presence. The Lord Jesus is. He's the one to take care of me. He's using all this, but he's the solid one there. He's strong, and he's tender. That's what God has wanted to show Micah and his people, and you and me. There is your hope. There is your security. And so let me go through that list that I introduced you with. New president, new governor, new legislature, new congress. You putting your hope there? You're looking in the wrong place. It's the Lord Jesus who's going to be taking care of this country, and he has a plan. Whatever it is, it's going to be good. You feel lonely? Either single or married? Don't be looking for that new honey to take care of all your problems. They won't. You can have some exhilaration for a little bit, but you're going to be disappointed, guaranteed. The Lord may need to turn your head so you look to him. That new doctor, the Lord could use them to fix your problem. But you look to the Lord Jesus saying, give me guidance. And a new pastor, don't pin all our hopes and plans in the new pastor to make everything well. Keep looking to Jesus. Look there. There is your only hope. So the next time you're looking, do what I needed to do, what Micah needed to do, what all God's people need to do. Instead of looking there, look there. Let us pray. We thank you so much, O God, for reminding us who you are. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And you have a wonderful, wonderful plan for us. And that plan is that we could belong to you and that we could belong to your Son, Jesus. O Lord, the times when we need to turn our hearts to your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.